Good morning, everyone. I'm going to call back to order the Free Conference Committee, which I hope is for the last time, on House Bill 278. It is April 25th, 2014. We're meeting in the Senate Finance Chambers in Juneau at approximately 8:15 in the morning. Before we commence business today, we have one item I want to mention, and that's happy birthday, Sam Keto III. Good to have you with us. Right.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We got your birthday right in front of us.
So, hopefully, oh my,
that's not good.
I think somebody owes the Senate something somewhere along the line, and I'll count on you to keep track of that, Senator Meyer.
He's lucky. I'm thinking this is our last day, but I've been saying it for a while.
We left off. We had adopted the working draft CS. We did have some both questions and concerns that we had dealt with, or have dealt with subsequently. So the first thing I'd like to do is ask the commissioner to come forward and respond to a couple of questions that were left on the table yesterday. And Commissioner, I can phrase the first question. And we've also been joined now by Representative Costello. Thank you. Commissioner, there was a question regarding the distinction between residential schools and boarding schools. Can you explain the difference in the semantics?
Sure. For the record, my name is Mike Hannon. I'm the Commissioner for the Department of Education and Early Development. Previously, we used the term boarding schools, and you'll still see the term boarding schools referenced in statute. We currently use residential schools. They are used synonymously.
Thank you, Commissioner. Does that answer any questions that have been raised yesterday? Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Commissioner, so which term is the new term so that I'm not...
We currently use residential.
Residential. Schools. Okay, great. Thank you.
And then the second issue that was left hanging yesterday was the question from you, Senator Meyer, and that regarded how, I guess, the word residential and schools were incorporated. And when we looked at the repeal of the exit exams, you had a question that I can't quite rephrase, and I'd ask you to rephrase it for the commissioner, if you could.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not sure I can rephrase it either, but... I had noticed that we purposely made a note that the charter schools were also the high school exit exam pertained to them as well as the other schools. I just wanted to make sure residential schools also would fall under the same guidelines or policy.
Through the chair, Senator Meyer, the HSGQE and the repeal of the HSGQE applies to all schools. Interestingly, that because charter schools are slightly different and have increased autonomy, I'll simply reference the statute, and you don't have to turn there, but the statute that's currently in place, that's referenced in this bill on page 9, one of those areas of autonomy is that on line 27, it says that the charter schools are exempt from the local school board districts textbook, program, curriculum, and scheduling requirements. But the statute specifically in charter schools said, but they still have to take the competency exam. They still need to take the HSGQE as well. So it's referenced separately to recognize, put some sideboards on their autonomy. But the HSGQE has applied to all schools, and the repeal of it will apply to all schools.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Meyer. Before we undertake the one amendment that we sorted out to issues raised by Senator Hoffman yesterday, are there any further questions for Commissioner Hanley regarding the work draft CS that we adopted? Hearing seen none, Commissioner, I thank you very kindly for your participation. What I would like to bring up at the moment then is the amendment that is labeled by our ledge drafters up in the upper right-hand corner, of course, Q.3, and I would like this amendment number 1, and procedurally, if Senator Meyer would move the amendment, I'll object, and we can enter into the discussion.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move amendment number 1.
And I object for discussion. So, Ms. Lucky, can you walk us through the amendment?
Yes. For the record, my name is Julie Lucky. I am staff to Representative Mike Hawker. The amendment, one of the concerns that was brought up yesterday was the consolidation of the LBNA reports, and also making sure that all of the reports were due at the same time so that all the information was available to the legislature as we move forward in determining what the best school funding method is.
And Ms. Lucky, if I could interject, for folks that are following this, these are the three reports that are on page 38 of the Q version of the legislation that we adopted as a CS yesterday.
And so what the amendment does is it does standardize all of the dates of the reporting. So the reports would all be due on June 15th, 2015. It also breaks the LBNA study, which is at the bottom of page 38 onto page 39. It basically bifurcates it into a policy, a look at the policies and the methodology versus a look at the data. So in the bill, items, if you start on page 38, line 31, items 1, 2, and 3 would comprise one study, and then item 4 would comprise a second study. There's two word changes. There's a little concern that the scope might be a little too narrow if we don't include the words "but are not limited to consideration." And so that language appears on page 2 of the amendment, and it would be inserted on page 38, lines 29 through 30. So the sentence would read, "The study must include, but are not limited to, the studies must include, but are not limited to, consideration of the listed points." The only other word change is, let me find it on page 38, line 31, we have removed the word "sustainable" and replaced it with "predictable." And that is the entirety of the amendment.
Further debate on the amendment. Senator Hoffman, does this amendment appear to ameliorate your concerns?
Yes, it does, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Hoffman. With that, I'll remove my objection to amendment number one. Is there further objection to amendment number one to House Bill 278? Hearing seen none, amendment one is adopted. This brings the bill back before us. I think unless there is further consideration of discussion of the bill itself, we are ready to take a walkthrough of the fiscal notes. And, well, I've talked with Senator Meyer, whose staff has been certainly one of the great fiscal analysts in the legislature. She is doing some work for the senator at the moment down in that other conference committee meeting down the hall, which I greatly respect her for. And so if it's all right with folks, I've got a little experience with fiscal notes myself, and I will just give a public walkthrough of what's in the fiscal notes. These fiscal notes are largely unchanged from the prior bill. They've been conformed to this bill. The biggest change from the prior bill is, of course, where we have rebalanced our amount of money allocated inside and outside the BSA. As we walk through these, if folks will note, on the upper right-hand corner of the front of page of each fiscal note, there is a number. That's the number I'll be referring to. On the bottom right-hand corner of these, it's the page 1, 2, or 3 within a single fiscal note. So as we're walking through this, fiscal note number 1, all of the information is contained in the narrative on the second page of this, which is the fiscal note that shows what our BSA increases are and what our outside the BSA other funding is for the 3 years. It's the balance we reached that ended up over the course of 3 years, splitting the inside and outside the BSA equally between of the overall $300 million that we are appropriating, we sort of take the new programs right off the top, and then in aggregate, we have split the entire $300 million between inside and outside the BSA. The fiscal note number two by Department of, this is the note that funds the BSA and the outside the BSA, as well as the correspondence increase from 80% to 90%, and the $483,000 charter school increase within the funding formula. But since we've set this up where the money, we appropriate the money into the public education fund, this fiscal note takes that money from the public education fund, makes it available each year to fund the expenditures that are disclosed in the first fiscal note we talked about. Representative Keto, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick comment. I wanted to make sure that everybody understood that this fiscal note in the original bill, we had $25 million in the operating budget, and this does include that $25 million, correct?
Can you speak a little louder?
In the original consideration of the bill, we had $25 million outside of the BSA funding.
House had.
Correct. And that this fiscal note actually includes that $25 million?
Well, that $25 million no longer exists in that we have compromised the House position and the Senate position, and this fiscal note recognizes our compromise position.
Correct.
Senator Meyer.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I think Representative Keto may be referring to the governor had $25 million outside originally, and then you House bumped it up to 30, and then we just included it total. So it, yeah, it's all just a
right
all added up. At some time though, Mr. Chairman, I would like, I think it's on fiscal note number one, there's a spreadsheet attached.
Please continue, Senator Meyer.
Well, maybe this might be a better question for later after you walk through all the fiscal notes. I didn't know how you wanted to.
Why don't we just do a quick run through what they are, and then we'll come to questions for the commissioner on that.
Very good. Thank you.
So, Commissioner, I think you're on notice of being prepared to talk to your spreadsheet with all those very little numbers that are actually really big numbers. So, fiscal note number three is the fiscal consequences of establishing the three-year pilot program for students in middle school around the STEM program, incorporating the ANSEP concept. It's an omnibus sort of thing. It includes the replacement of the secondary school competency exam with the ability to participate in the ACT or the SAT. That's $525,000 of it. It includes the House requested information on military to continue to manage and monitor the performance of students of military personnel. That's $80,000 in the first year, $10,000 in out years. It includes the $500 per student startup grant for charter schools. It also includes the TVEP change from 0.15% to 0.16%, and it does add that pilot program for the middle schools and science and related activities of $3 million. The fiscal note number four is $620,000 to the Department of Ed for the preparation of that study on salary benefits, the 624 is the DEED fiscal note on prototype modular schools that would be consistent across the state of Alaska. I've been focusing on energy efficiency, common designs, and hopefully achieving some higher quality schools with a more standardized approach and less cost of engineering maintenance and out-year maintenance on those facilities. Next, fiscal note number five is the boarding home grants. This is $2.2 million. This brings the amount of support for those, here it says boarding schools again, but it's the residential schools, up to the level that the administration believes is necessary to actually pay the incremental costs of providing those boarding services. Part of that had been funded in a previous year. This finishes and provides them full funding as they've requested for that activity. The fiscal note number six through the Alaska Library and Museums is the $5 million for the initial funding of starting to expand broadband across the state. This is for participation in a federal program to bring the first 10 megabytes of download capability across the state. And I think we all need to be prepared to understand that the federal goal on this is to get that up to 100 in the near future. So this is the beginning of another process of moving our state into a more technologically complete school system on a statewide basis. Fiscal note number seven goes along with the school debt reimbursement changes. It's indeterminate, of course, because it all depends upon what districts take advantage of the program into the future, whether they do or don't.
But Mr. Chairman,
Senator Meyer,
if I could just add to that, though, that should be a credit to the state.
Yes, in that we have maintained the 70-30 program as it stands, and we've adjusted the 60-40 to a 50-50 split, putting a little more burden onto the local communities.
That's correct. Thank you.
The next $650,000 on fiscal note number eight is money being provided to the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee to conclude the two studies that we discussed in the amendment number one. Fiscal note number nine goes to the Department of Administration Central Administrative Services for the purposes of the salary benefits schedule study that includes an evaluation of and recommendations for teacher tenure across the state. Fiscal note number 10 is it's a bit complex, but it represents the changes to the Alaska Technical Vocational Education Program. It is one where are actually going to be making more money available to that, but it also included the recognition of Iliksakvik up in Barrow as a VOTEC program, but put all of the university funding into one pool. And while I say that it eliminated specific earmarks for the university, my conversations with folks indicate that the programs within the university system all feel they are going to be able to actually have a greater total funding as a result of this methodology. So it's a restructuring, and then it also added Iliksakvik as a recognized entity. Fiscal note number 11 goes along with number 10. And it actually recognizes the consolidation of that program and the additional money that's going to be made available through it. And those are the fiscal notes that go along with this bill. You add them all up, and we get $300 million, actually just a shade less than that based on the district's exact calculations of what they predict the student enrollments are going to be for the next 3 years. But it's the aggregate $300 million aggregate $300 million and $100 million a year, adding up to that for the next three fiscal years. But Senator Meyer, sir, and Commissioner, I think you probably ought to come join us.
Chair Hawker, with your permission, I will invite Deputy Commissioner Morse up. He has worked extensively on these fiscal notes.
I would be delighted, and if you would place your name on the record and be ready to talk to Senator Meyer.
For the record, Les Morris, Deputy Commissioner, Department of Education.
Okay, Senator Meyer, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I'm going to be referring to the Excel spreadsheet on the back of fiscal note number one, and you almost need a magnifying glass to read this, or at least I do. But I'm hoping maybe you can explain what everything means to me here. And for my purposes, let's just take Anchorage. So if I'm reading this correctly, for fiscal year 2015, the total amount that they will be receiving is $24,438,000, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. So how does this breakout work between the charter schools, the correspondent schools, and then your traditional neighborhood schools? You need a magnifying glass?
Senator Ramos, need a magnifying glass? Forgot my glasses this morning, but I think I can break it out.
We are in trouble.
Yeah, I do need these.
You have a couple pairs in my office. You can.
Okay, I think I'm good now. The way that this breaks out, the charter school money is just an indication of the increase that was relative to the change that came from doing the change in size factor around charter schools. So any district affected by that change is noted in this spreadsheet. I will note that the spreadsheet on here actually has some print right behind there that actually got on there because of a calculation problem. So I think what we need to do is provide you a clean spreadsheet, which can be done relatively quickly. This is on here just because of a programming error, some of this language. So, okay.
And that's fine. But so is it safe to say that it looks like Juneau and Kenai?
Correct.
They're the only two schools that are affected by this? Or if you explain that, please.
Senator Meyer, under that change in calculation, under the current enrollments, there were only two schools affected. That's not to say that there might be other schools affected in the future, but at this point, two schools were affected. And so it does just make an adjustment for those particular two districts at this time.
Okay. But if I may, Mr. Chairman.
Please continue, sir. Feel free to continue.
So obviously dropping the enrollment to 75, I would anticipate then other school districts will be impacted in the future. And it looks like, yeah, I was kind of looking through the next 2 years, and it doesn't show any change, like, again, for Anchorage.
Senator Meyer, we didn't indicate any change on here. Eventually, that would be dollars rolled right into the way the formula is funded. So without anticipating whether we'll have new charter schools or changes in enrollment, I think this is a pretty accurate picture of the future. However, oftentimes if there's a new charter school, you're going to see that impact. But again, you're also going to see an adjustment in the amount of money going to the district because those students will be funded through the charter. It's a bit hard to predict that change in the future. So this is accurate for the current look of charter schools across the state.
Chair Hawker, if I may.
Please continue.
Largely the impetus behind this is the recognition that to get a charter school started and hit that 150 mark to get that full funding, if you will, is a challenge for some districts, especially smaller communities. The goal was not around these two schools. The goal was to say for the future, Anchorage very well may have a charter. The district may be hesitant to start one with less than 150 because the funding was less. But now the funding will be the same as it was at 150 all the way down to 75. We may see additional charter schools opening up because of that additional funding. That was the purpose behind it. We can't predict just exactly where those will be, but we would anticipate seeing that change.
If I may, Mr. Chair.
Please continue, sir. And feel free to continue your dialogue.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Do most school districts then, in my mind, charter schools are just like neighborhood schools or like your alternative schools. They're all brick and mortar public schools. But are they kind of calculated or figured differently when they do their budgets, the various school districts?
Through the chair, their budgets are done differently. And a lot of the language that's in this bill speaks to that. The current statutory language speaks to the fact that the budget for a charter school shall not be less than the amount generated by the students enrolled in that charter school in the same manner as it is in other neighborhood schools, the traditional schools. So it's a contract between the district and the charter, but that budget needs to reflect at least the money generated by those students. There's a lot of clarifying language around what that is. Typically, for a neighborhood school, the district has a big pot of money and they get the money where they need to go. Charter schools have autonomy, but they have parameters on how much money should at least be generated and go to those charter schools. So it is a different structure.
Okay, and that makes some sense to me then, because there was some concern that some of the funds weren't necessarily following the child to the charter school.
Exactly, and that's where the governor started the conversation, and from there, both the House and Senate have clarified that even to a greater extent of making sure that there's equity and just what those funds are generated by a student that should be going to those schools.
Got it. Okay.
And if I might also just step in, and then it's in the other fiscal note that the $500 per student startup grant also would go to follow each of those students.
Correct, and that's one time.
Correct.
One time shot, one time grant for those schools.
Okay, and then if we may continue.
Please continue, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So let's go to the correspondence column. And again, looking at Anchorage, it looks like it's about a $500,000 increase. And then looking down the column here, obviously Galena, which is heavy in the correspondence, does receives $2 million. Mat-Su, which is also pretty heavy in the correspondence, gets over $1 million. So again, when school districts do their budgeting correspondence, how does that figure it in their total budget? I guess where I'm trying to go here is that in Anchorage, I was told that they had a deficit of about $21 million. So when I see $24 million, I'm thinking, okay, we should be okay. I had a brief discussion with the finance person at the Anchorage School District, and he said, no, that's not quite enough. And so, and then he was saying that charter schools, correspondence schools, and are all factored differently. So I'd like to just get your thought on that.
Sure. This column represents the difference between the increase from 0.8 to 0.9. So for every school district that has correspondence programs, it'll represent that the number of those students times 0.9. Now, previously you heard the conversation or the presentation from David Teal about the whole funding formula. Correspondence school students are just the BSA component of that. It just is that. Previously it was the 5680. It was 0.8 of 5680. So now we've raised it to 0.9, and it'll be 0.9 of these new numbers that are increased in here. So it still goes straight to the district. They are still public schools. They are still district schools. It goes to the district, and they determine how to support their correspondence school students.
Okay, I think I'm good, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir. Other questions or concerns from the committee regarding, frankly, actually, let's stick to the fiscal. Any further concerns on the fiscal notes? Hearing seen none, a motion would be in order to adopt the fiscal notes. And I want to note for folks that this is a little bit of an unusual process in that we are in special session. The operating budget has been closed out. These are operating budget expenditures, but the legislature will be including in the capital budget an operating appropriation to accommodate these fiscal notes. So, Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move the committee adopt the fiscal notes as presented by Chairman Hawker, or by you, by the chairman, noting that the funding for these notes will be made by an operating appropriation included in the FY15 capital budget, Senate Bill 119.
I will object to look around the table and see if there's any further conversation on the fiscal notes. Hearing see none, the question before the committee is adopting the fiscal notes as presented. Is there further objection? Hearing see none, they have been adopted. This brings the bill with its accompanying fiscal notes back before the committee for consideration. Is there further conversation? Representative Keto.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do appreciate all the work staff and all the committee members have done on the bill. There are a couple of items I'd just like to put on the record. I'm not going to maintain or offer an objection to the bill, but I would like to say when the House bill passed our body, I had some concerns about some language on tax credits. I still have those concerns, but that language was in both bills, so there was no no point in bringing it up for discussion at that point. I did make my comments on the floor, and I'll let those comments stand. I do have a concern about a new provision from the Senate version of the bill on page 11 of the bill under student allotments, where it talks about parents or guardians being able to purchase non-sectarian services and materials from a private, public, or religious organization, and I do have some concerns that that may be unconstitutional. I just wanted to make sure that those concerns were on the record.
Okay. Thank you very kindly. Senator Meyer, a motion would be in order, and because this is a conference committee, we will do this by a roll call vote.
Mr. Chairman, I want to make sure my Senate colleagues here are comfortable with this and ready to go.
Senator Dunleavy.
Just to the chair, so we are, with the exception of the amendments we adopted this morning and the fiscal note we just adopted, all of the language that was discussed over the last couple of days is contained within this CSQ with no changes other than the two amendments we've adopted, fiscal note and amendment number one.
Yes, Senator Dunleavy, what we are adopting is the Q version, which is identical, which is the Q version is the Q version is the Q version. It will only be changed by the amendment number one that we adopted, and as far as the bill goes, and then, of course, we've attached the fiscal notes to it. Yes, you are very correct.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And just in case anybody's interested, and if it helps you vote, the Kabata proposal has been moved pending conference committee I'm not sure what that word is, but it's been moved.
I think Senator Hoffman had a comment.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I appreciate the conference committee's consideration of separating the two studies. I think that is a very wise move. I do still have some concerns about the time frame, taking away approximately 6 months. This is going to put, I think, a little bit of a burden on the LBNA committee, but I'm sure they'll be up to the task.
And thank you, Senator. Very much appreciate your willingness to find an accord that worked for both sides of the body, both sides of the legislature here. Very sincerely appreciate it. You and I have done this before. So, Senator Meyer?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I made all the comments, I think, yesterday, 2 days ago now, that, you know, I think it's a good compromise. Having spoken to my superintendent's finance guy this morning, I think they were hoping, as was I, that we had gone with the Senate numbers, which was a little higher than the House numbers, but this is the art of compromise, and so overall I think it's a good compromise and a good package, and it offers a lot of incentive for reform and innovation, which is important for the future, and I do appreciate the vision of education reform and that Senator Dunleavy has, and so I think the committee process has worked very effectively to this session.
Thank you kindly, sir. It's always been a pleasure to work with you as well.
You ready for a motion?
Floor is yours, sir.
Okay. Well, Mr. Chairman, I move that the Free Conference Committee for House Bill 278 recommend that the House and Senate adopt the Free Conference Committee substitute for House Bill 278, 28-GH2716/Q, as amended.
And if you would also note with the fiscal notes we attached.
With the attached fiscal notes, and would ask members to sign the report.
So the question before the committee is the adoption of a recommendation to both our bodies to adopt the Free Conference Committee substitute for House Bill 278 as amended, and the fiscal notes that we've attached to it as a result of our work here.
Mr. Chairman.
I'll object to that motion for further conversation. Senator Hoffman.
Did you withdraw your objection to the amendment?
If I didn't, I do.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And actually, I don't think we had the... If I didn't, I do. Mr. Secretary, could you please call the roll of the Senate?
Yes.
Senator Dunleavy.
Yes.
Senator Meyer.
Yes.
Mr. Secretary, could you please call the roll of the House?
Representative Gaddis.
Yes.
Representative Kito.
Yes.
Chair Hopper.
Yes. So with unanimous approval by both the Senate and the House, the conference committee substitute has been accepted to move on to our respective bodies for possible concurrence. And Senator Dunleavy, before I adjourn this conference committee, I want to point out a procedural point to you based on your previous question. Because we adopted an amendment to the Q version of the legislation, when it gets to the floor, there will be a new version indicator attached to that, because that amendment has to get incorporated. It triggers a new version indicator over in legal, but it will in fact be the same bill as in the Q version with only the amendment we've adopted. Very kindly. With that, folks, we will stand this committee in adjournment, and I would ask everyone to stay around long enough to sign the conference committee report, and we'll see everybody on the floor. Thank you. We are adjourned.